Eiszeit FM, der Eishockey-Podcast.
Hallo, hier ist Sven von Eiszeit FM. Und bevor es gleich losgeht, ein paar Worte noch zu der Sendung vorab. Das Gespräch mit Johann Lundskog fand statt im Rahmen von einem Pressetermin der Adler Mannheim. Dafür ein Danke an die Adler, weil das Gespräch war eigentlich für einen Zeitungsartikel, der auch heute erschien in der Rheinpfalz von mir, der ein Porträt von Johann Lundskog darstellte. Und ich hatte aber die Möglichkeit, das Gespräch aufzunehmen und es war überhaupt kein Problem, das dann als Podcast zur Verfügung zu stellen. Ein besonderes Danke geht aber vor allem auch an all unsere Unterstützerinnen und Unterstützer bei Steady da draußen, die uns es möglich gemacht haben, in Technik zu investieren, die es uns möglich gemacht haben, das Gespräch ganz entspannt aufzunehmen. Ich musste kein Wort mitschreiben. Wir konnten das sehr sauber aufnehmen, haben da in Technik investiert diesen Sommer und hoffen, dass wir euch das entsprechend näher bringen können. Dafür ein großes Danke. Was ich auch nochmal loswerden möchte, ist, wer mag, darf gerne bei Apple oder Spotify eine Bewertung hinterlassen. Das hilft uns immer sehr. Ansonsten könnt ihr uns über die bekannten Wege und Kanäle erreichen oder uns eben auch, wie gesagt, bei Steady unterstützen. Dafür vielen Dank. Euch einen schönen Sommer, vielleicht ja bis am Freitag. Und jetzt viel Spaß, eine halbe Stunde. Johann Lundskog, der neue Adler-Coach, im langen Gespräch mit Eiszeit FM. Bis dann. Johann, you had your press conference in the mid of May.
Yeah.
How has it been since then? What have you done the last weeks?
Well, I had those those 4 days here in Mannheim, following the press conference. So it was, an opportunity for me to meet all the people that were here at that time. So the German players and some of the staff members that were in town. So that was great to get those first impressions from the players and the staff. And then I went back home to Canada for the rest of the summer there, just trying to enjoy time with friends and family and take advantage of that. I'm not going to have my family here for the whole year. They're going to be coming and going a little bit over the course of the winter. So try to invest in them a little bit and obviously prepare for the season. A lot of video work, watching the team from last year, watching every player from last year, whether they played in Mannheim or they played somewhere else, just trying to get to know them as hockey players, It was a busy summer, but a good one.
Yeah. Sounds a little bit like recharging the batteries, but also a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
Have you followed the World Cup? The final, do you have a Canadian passport?
I do have a Canadian passport, but it was an impressive tournament, I think, by the German team. It was nice to see them perform the way they did and show how competitive they are. So I think it's great for German ice hockey at the end of the day. And, Canada is Canada, and they're always going to be up and fighting for the medals. But it was fun to watch.
Now you've been here in Mannheim for, I don't know, the last few weeks?
Yeah, about 2.5 weeks now, or 3 weeks. 3 weeks this weekend. So starting to find my way around a little bit.
Any chance, apart from the ice and the work, to see something from the region or the city or anything like that?
Yeah, we've been trying to get around. I mean, most of our time's been spent at the rink, obviously, but, trying to go out and find some good restaurants and get to know the city a little bit and the surrounding areas. So we went to some wine festival in Maikammer.
Oh, I live 5 kilometers from there.
So, okay, yeah. I took some of my staff members out there for the wine festival, and just been around different places. So it's been great.
What can you say about the facility in Mannheim? You have a lot of experience in your work. What can you say about the facilities in Mannheim?
It's the best I've seen. I find it hard to believe that there's a better setup in European ice hockey. I think, Daniel and the organization does a phenomenal job to provide the players and the staff with all the resources you need to be successful, not just in terms of the roster and the team that they put together every single year. The facilities and the resources are the best I've seen. So,
coming to the way of your life till now, you went to Canada in younger age.
Yeah.
How was it for you going away from Sweden?
It was great. It was fun. You know, that's kind of been my lifestyle my whole life. My dad worked for the UN, so he was always traveling, and we were always traveling to visit him in different countries across the world. And so it was pretty natural, to be honest with you. You know, I wanted to have an adventure after my high school years in Sweden and go overseas and try that. So it was a lot of fun, you know.
But it's the classical way for the son of a diplomat playing hockey in Sweden. In Germany, I don't think so.
No. But, you know, I've never done anything in my life the traditional way. You know, I've always went my own path. And that's something that I think have really benefited me, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I left home at 15 to go to a hockey high school in Sweden. And then left Sweden to go do my own thing in North America. And, you know, I've bounced around all over the world throughout my hockey journey. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity to be able to do that. And I think it's what's brought me here today.
Yeah, so it's how does this come into your way of coaching, this way of doing things?
I think it's most definitely helped me, you know, connect with players regardless of their nationality. You know, I'm very curious as a person as to different cultures, different countries, different languages, everything that goes into, you know, what makes, you know, Germany, Germany, and Switzerland, Switzerland, and Sweden, Sweden, and North America, North America. And, you know, I'm really, really intrigued by that. And I think that helps me, you know, connect to build relationships with my players. And when you have strong relationships with your players, you can be a very demanding coach, and you can try to maximize each individual. So it's definitely been helped me in my professional life as well.
I remember what you said in the press conference in May. You combine the best of both worlds when you combine Sweden and Canada. What does this mean for you?
No, I think in every aspect, you know, like it's whether it's the hockey, you know, the tactical side, the technical side, you know, all the experiences you can draw upon from working with Swedish players, North American players. Now I can add Switzerland to that list and stuff. So, you know, everywhere you go in life, you know, you have good experiences and bad experiences, and you try to learn from the bad ones and you try to take the good stuff with you. And I think that's why I'm grateful that I've been around to so many different places, because I've met a lot of good people along the way and I've learned a lot of great things along the way. And that's what helped you grow, right?
With all these different places in your life, is there a place you call home for yourself? Or is this one where your family is?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we say, you know, wherever we are together is where home is. You know, right now, Mannheim is is my home in that sense, you know, and that's how I want to approach it. You know, I go into every place 100%, not just in terms of my professional work, but also socially. You know, I want to get to know this place and all the people and the people that we represent, because at the end of the day, we represent the city, you know, and our fan base. And it's important to me to know what kind of a city and what kind of a fan base do we represent, so that we can play a style of hockey that represents our fan base, you know. So to me, I doesn't matter where I go in 100%, I think that's helped me along the way.
What have you heard about not only the crowd and the fan base, but you said you want to represent the fan base in the way the team play? What have you heard about the city about it?
I mean, I think it's you know, I actually had the benefit of running into some of the fans in Bern. They were in Bern last summer for the jubileum for the SC Bern fan club there. And there was a busload of Mannheim fans that were there. So that was an interesting experience. There were some great people and a fun night that we spent with them there. And I mean, Mannheim is known throughout Europe to have one of the best fan bases in Europe, right? So knowing that going in, you know, that's a reason why you want to come here, whether you're a player or a coach, is to play in front of that crowd.
Most of the time you've been an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. Was this by default, was this your wish? Was this always, you said, I just want to learn from scratch? Or how does this develop?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like a natural progression. You know, I started off as an assistant coach in juniors in Canada. And then I graduated to a head coach and a general manager at the junior level. Okay, then you go from juniors to pro. And that's a big step. So wanted to do that as an assistant coach, and learn from some good people there. And I was very, very fortunate, especially the 3 years that I spent in Frölunda next to Roger Rönnberg there, who I personally think is arguably one of the best coaches in Europe, and a great friend of mine and a great resource that we still share a lot of stuff back and forth, you know. That's for sure something I wanted to do for a couple of years until I felt 100% ready to take the step to be a head coach. And that kind of happened naturally once I was done my time in Davos.
The special thing about you is that you're still very young, but you're very experienced as a coach. How does this help you? You're not much older than some of your players. How does this help you connect it with your players?
This is actually the first time in my professional career where I don't have a player on my team that's older than me. So I guess I'm starting to get a little bit older now. But now, again, to your point, you know, I think I have the experience of most 50-60-year-old coaches in the sense that, you know, I've coached now for almost 20 years. And, you know, not just coaching experience, you know, in terms of life experience too. You know, I've been married for almost 15 years. I've raised three daughters that are, you know, 9, 13, and 15 years old. So for a 38-year-old, I'm pretty experienced in that sense. And the fact that I am closer in age with a lot of players helps me most definitely connect with them and relate to them, you know, because, you know, it's not that long ago where I went through the same process as what they're going through right now, whether it's raising a young family or whatever, you know. I think it helps me just relate and connect to my guys in a good way.
The difference between being an assistant and a head coach, what is the biggest point in that?
The biggest thing is you're ultimately responsible for everything and everyone, you know. As an assistant coach, you know, I had my 14 forwards, and, you know, I had my areas of responsibilities, and they were different from team to team, you know. And the role was bigger or smaller based on where I was. But obviously, taking the step into the head coach role, you know, you got to have a wider perspective of things, and you got to see everything, and you got to see everybody, and you got to make sure that you not only manage your 20-25 players, but it's about your entire staff and maximizing them, you know. So it's just allowing yourself to zoom out and have a grasp on everything and everyone.
What have you learned from your time in Bern, which you think makes you better in Mannheim, which can help you for the next years?
I think I grew and matured a lot, you know. Obviously, working in a big market team like Bern is, it's probably one of the toughest markets in Europe to work in. So, you know, it hardened me in a way. And then, you know, I think going in there...
Was there some kind of doubt when the offer came because of the market in Bern, the craziness all around them?
No. At the end of the day, this is the kind of place I want to work in. This is the kind of place I've been successful in, you know, like wherever I've been, like everywhere I've been, it's kind of been big market teams, you know, in Frölunda in Sweden, it's the biggest club in Sweden, you know, biggest fan base there, big media attention, all that stuff too. Davos being the historic club that it is, you know, it's similar in a way, even though it's not a big city with as big of a following in that sense, but still a similar high demand market. And then going into Bern, and that's, I think, as a competitor, whether you're a coach or a player, you want to be in that environment, you know. You know, you want to know that you have a chance to win, you know. That's the way I look at it. People always ask about pressure means you have an opportunity to win. If you don't enjoy pressure, there's a lot of teams where you can go and not have the pressure, but you're also not going to have the opportunity to win. And I want to win. That's why I'm in hockey. That's why I'm in sports. And if you want to win, you go to places like this. So there was zero doubts. The second this opportunity came around, I knew that this was the place I wanted to be. And I'm thrilled to be here and get started here in a couple of days and finally get to work again.
There's a special, your successor in Bern is now also on the DEL. Of Tony Söderholm.
Yep.
Was there ever any contact between the both of you?
Yeah, no, I knew Tony a bit from before when he was with the German national team and stuff, you know, because we had Cahoon on the team. Yeah. And, you know, I had a relationship with him there. When I went to the World Championships 2 summers ago, I went and spent some time with him there and stuff. So we had a we had a good relationship going into it, and we have a good relationship to this day. You know, it's part of the business, and, you know, so that's all good.
You know about the rivalry between Mannheim and Munich?
I most definitely do.
Okay, no doubts about it.
No.
Looking at your staff now, you have two new assistants. You bring two new assistant coaches to the team.
Yep.
Can you talk about them a little bit? What made the decision to bring them to the team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Kurt Frazier, first of all, you know, comes in with a world of experience, and that's something that I wanted to have. Again, you know, this is my second head coaching job at the professional level, and you know, having someone that's gone through it multiple times, someone that I can lean on and pull experience from, was big, you know. So that was the first position that I wanted to fill, was that of an experienced coach that had head coaching experience and stuff like that. So very, very happy that we were able to get Kurt over here. You know, he's been out of the game now for a couple of seasons due to health reasons. So we're, first of all, very happy that he's healthy again, and super excited to get back to work, you know.
And this would be my question. How did you convince him to come to Mannheim with his...
It was very easy to convince him. You know, he was super excited about the opportunity and stuff. And like I said, you know, when a club like Mannheim calls and show interest, it piques your interest right away, right? So that was easy.
Yeah.
You know, so once we figured out that he was the guy we wanted and we approached him, you know, then it was a quick and easy process from that point forward, you know. And with Jeff, you know, I brought Jeff to Bern. He did a phenomenal job for me there. He was the absolute rock star of my staff in Bern. You know, without him, he was a big asset to me there, you know, and I've known him from before. And going into a new place, I'm meeting everybody here except Alavara for the first time, you know. Okay. So having someone that I have some familiarity with, that I know...
You can rely on.
I you know, because it's a starting process for everybody, right? With Jeff, I know exactly. So he can hit the ground running, you know.
Okay.
So that was important for me to have one person that I had worked with before, and there was no better person than Jeff, you know.
Was it important for you that Marcel Gotch is still part of your coaching staff?
Yeah, after meeting with him, you know, it became very, very clear. You know, I had no relation to Marcel before. We have some mutual friends in North America from hockey that spoke very highly of him. You know, when I took the job here, and you know, they reached out to me and said, you know, make sure that you talk to Marcel and get to know him well. And obviously the message from the organization was the same as well, you know. And then after that first conversation that I had the same day as the press conference, it was a no-brainer for me to have him involved in what we do here. You know?
Talking about the team now, there's a big rebuild going on. Lots of players leaving Mannheim, lots of players coming to Mannheim. For you as a new coach coming to the team, is this perhaps the easier way, building your team, the team your way, or... Doesn't matter.
Yes and no. I mean, we look at it as a great opportunity to build something new. You know, we want to keep what was good here, and you know, this is a team that's been consistently competing for a very long time. So you know, there's a lot of things that have been good, and we want to make sure we keep those. But there's also a lot of things that we want to change and we want to do better. You know, and we want to grow as an organization and grow as a team. And it's a perfect opportunity with the turnover of players this year to get some new energy in here and some new voices in here. And you know, Axel has done a very good job of, you know, screening all these guys coming in, making sure that they have the characteristics that we're looking for as human beings, not just hockey players, to make sure that, you know, we build out our leadership group, that we can raise the bar in terms of our competitiveness and our work ethic, and you know, obviously our ability to play hockey as well. But there's so many things that go into it that I'm very, very happy with the people that we've brought in here, not just the hockey players.
And talking about raising the bar, raising the competitiveness, is there a special pedigree what it takes to win titles? It's always about, you hear about good chemistry in the locker, but I think when you win, it's always easy to have a good chemistry in the locker. Is there something what you have learned in your years?
I mean, that's going to be the challenge now with all these new players. His first step is to get them all together and become one unit, and then set a goal and start moving in that same direction as a group. And then ultimately, we know that we have a good team. You know, we can put that aside day one. We know what the expectations are from the outside and from the inside. You know, no one wants to win more than our group of players and our group of coaches. That's the expectation, and we have a team that's good enough to do so. So put that aside. You know, now we want to make sure that, you know, we work on the competitive side of the game. You know, we're going to be well structured. We're going to be, you know, tactically sound, you know, but how hard are we going to be to play against? Because only then does it become relevant how skilled we are and stuff like that. You know, I take a lot of pride into, you know, what's our work ethic like? What's our compete level like? And that's the standards that we're going to start setting on Wednesday when we officially start up our training camp. It's day one, we need to set the bar. And the next day, we got to try to raise that bar. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day over the course of the season. Because you get to the end of the year, the last two, three, four teams, everybody's going to be in good shape. Everybody's going to play good tactically. Then it comes down to player for player. How well have we worked over the course of the past 8 months getting these guys to play their best hockey at the right time of the year? You know, so physically, mentally, tactically, technically, we have a big job to do with every single player to get them to, when the playoff rolls around, be able to perform at the top of their ability. And we got to push that every single day. We know we have the quality of players here. We're going to have the quality of coaching here. But we got to put in a lot of work between now and then to make sure we are where we need to be.
Talking about the concept of doing that, is this for you a process, or do you say we want to be on? You cannot be on the best of your game on day one, I think. But what do you want to see from your team in these steps?
I want to see maximum effort every single day. And you know, what our max is, it's going to become higher and higher over the course of the year. But on Wednesday, we should go into that practice of max of what we are at today. And hopefully Thursday, that max is a little bit higher. And on Friday, it's a little bit higher. And 8 months from now, it's a hell of a lot higher. You know, so that's the approach that I want to see from every coach, every player, is that we come in every single day and we maximize what we have today, you know, and then collectively we'll work together there to reach the levels that we want to have, right? But that's also why the approach from the whole organization, you know, is we need to individualize the work a lot more, maybe compared to what how they've worked in the past. You know, that's been the process over the summer now, is that, you know, their off-ice training's been way more individualized, because we have young players, we have older players, we have everybody in between. We have big players, we have small players, and everything in between. And not everybody can work the same way in the gym, on the ice. Okay. With, you know, with video, with the tactics, with the technical side. So individualizing our program to make sure that we maximize every single day and every single athlete is going to be big, you know. And we took a big step this summer with that. And now when we start with the on-ice portion, it's going to be the same. And that's where Marcel is going to be key, because, you know, he's going to be more so focused on the individual development of each player, allowing, you know, Kurt and Jeff to have more of a tactical eye on things, and then working systematically in a process over the course of the year, making sure that everybody takes steps in the right direction.
You know? Does this help you that you have to start relatively early with competition like the Champions Hockey League, or do you say I would like to have more time to prepare all these things?
No, I like it. You know, training camp here in Europe in general is it's quite long.
Yeah.
You know, and when traditionally, if you're not in the Champions Hockey League, you're playing 7, 8, 9 exhibition games. It can be good in one way, but it also becomes a challenge, because you want the guys to be equally as excited when the regular season starts as they are on Wednesday walking through that door, you know. So playing competitive games earlier on, I like it because you learn more from those games than what you do from an exhibition game, you know?
Yeah. From my point of view, in the public, the Champions Hockey League is highly underrated. Mm-hmm. I like this. I like the games there. The quality is high. There's a lot of speed in there.
Yeah.
How do you see it from a coach's perspective?
Yeah, no, I probably have a biased opinion because I won it twice. And I love that tournament. I think it's great. And I think it's great for, you know, experience and a lot of learning for our players and our staff, you know. You get to go up against some of the best teams in Europe, and you get to go up to against some maybe less traditional hockey markets.
Yeah.
But you get to learn a lot because there's different styles of coaching, different styles of playing, you know, and you can learn something from every single opponent, regardless of the quality of that opponent. You constantly learn from it, and you get to see different things, right? And as a coach, you know, this job is about stealing it and making it your own, right? I mean, we're always watching what the other people are doing, and you pick up things here and there, and you turn it into your own version of it and stuff. So I really enjoy it, and it's a perfect opportunity for us to see early how our guys perform in a competitive environment. You know, how are they going to respond against Salzburg and Bolzano and all these guys? Okay, we're going to learn a lot more from those two games. That's going to make us better going to Finland.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to come back from Finland, and we're going to play two very, very tough teams in Finland. That's going to make us better going into the regular season here instead of playing exhibition games.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't replicate the real thing. You know, it doesn't matter who you play in an exhibition game. An exhibition game is always an exhibition game. So playing competitive games it's a positive for us.
When you're watching video, what do you want to see from a player? What do you appreciate most from a player? Is it skill? Is it motivation? Or is there a matrix you have? Or what is it?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for all of it, and rarely do you find it all. You know, that's no. At the end of the day, you know, I want to see passion and compete. You know, everybody has different skill sets. I appreciate all of the different skill sets that our guys bring to the table. You know, some guys are here to score goals and make plays. Some guys are here to defend well, play physical, whatever. But every single player is expected to outwork, outcompete our opponent every single night. It doesn't matter who you are. And that's what I really appreciate is competitors. That's sports. At the end of the day, it's me versus you. I'm going to beat you one way or another. There's a million ways of beating someone, but having that competitive nature is the number one thing that I look for in everybody.
So do you think, isn't there in your mind already something like roles for the players and to your team, or how do you approach it?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I think that's very, very important for us that we go through that process now in training camp and find roles for everybody. We have a deep team, you know, we have four good lines. We have, you know, a full roster of quality players. And there's going to be guys that have played bigger roles in the past, maybe here or somewhere else, that are now going to find themselves in different roles, but every role is equally as important at the end of the day, and that's our job to make sure that everybody feels important and feels appreciated and seen and heard for that. But it's a luxury problem that we have, is that, you know, we have a lot of quality hockey players, and now they have to battle it out for it, and we have to find the perfect spot for each guy to make sure that we put him in a spot where he can maximize himself and help our team in the best possible way.
We're talking about the players and the quality of the team, but losing Leon Gavanke must be a huge blow for the team, I think. Defender. Are you still looking for a new player in the defense?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, we're not doing our job if we're not constantly looking to improve the team, right? So in every aspect of the our roster, I'm you know, between Axie and myself and our scouting department, we're always looking to ways to improve the team. But of course, a player like Leon, you cannot replace him. Yeah. That player does not exist.
Yeah.
You know, so if we want to do that, we have to look at the import market, and you know, we have you know, like I said, we're very, very happy with the guys we have right now, and we want to give them an opportunity here over training camp to, you know, solidify their position and who's going to play where and who's going to play with whom and all that stuff, right? But a player like Leon, of course, it's a tough blow, and it's someone that we cannot replace.
So you are looking for play. What was with Tim? Tim, you were already here when Tim left to Cologne, or was it decided already before?
I think it was a joint decision there. I had an opportunity to meet him briefly. You know, I never got the opportunity to get to know him properly, but I did have one conversation when he was in here. You know, I think it was a process that had already started before I came here, and I came in at the end of that process. But I think at the end of the day, it was the best decision for us as an organization and a team. And I think it might be the best opportunity for Tim, too, to change the environment and get a new start somewhere else. So it's a decision that we're comfortable and confident with.
Johan, we talked now for about half an hour here. So thanks for your time, first of all.
Appreciate it.
Two questions.
Yep.
Is there any player you say that was the best player I ever worked with?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. You know, every place has had them, and I've been very, very fortunate. You know, whether we've been winning or losing, I've been surrounded by some really, really good players. Whether it's, you know, whether it was in Sweden and some of the high end, I think we had almost 12 or 13 guys that left our team and went to the NHL in my 3 years in Frölunda. You know, so obviously, you know, the Rasmus Dahlins, the Lucas Raymonds, the Victor Olofssons, the Carl Grundströms, the Elias Andersons. That list goes on and on there. Okay. Those were all special young players. You know, we had some older, great, you know, the Joel Lundqvists and those guys were obviously special there. Then, you know, you go to Switzerland and you have the opportunity to work with Andres Ambühl, you know, a legend, you know, the Enzo Corvis and these guys in that organization. You're moving on to Bern and you get to work with the Simon Mosers and the Tristan Cherves and the Ramon Untersanders and all those guys there. So every place has had, you know, quality people, quality players. So I think it's impossible for me to pick one.
Okay.
I just consider myself very, very lucky that, you know, I can honestly say after all these years that, you know, I haven't really had any rotten apples. You know, yeah. I've been very, very lucky with the people that I've came across in my journey so far.
The last one, we are here on the golf course. Yep. How good are you on the golf as a competitor?
Maybe you should ask as a competitor. I'm very competitive. Maybe you should ask me that question after the round of golf. Yeah. Right now, I'm going to say I'm average.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be right back.